And before the scripture is read, but Dee, you can come on up, okay? I wanted to, this opportunity we have this whole summer of different people coming in and bringing us the word, and everybody's going to have a different message and maybe a different style, and we are going to be blessed by everyone, each one. And like today, I love to say it this way, we have the Reverend Dr. Gary Rhodes. And he hates that, so but that's why I do it. Gary is so personal and just a wonderful person. You're gonna really enjoy his message this morning. And you know, when he retired into this church, into this ministry of this church, you can see he sings in the choir. Okay, he's a part of a Sunday school class, and you can just call on him for most anything. But today. And this is what's so cool. And when Sally was working out the schedule of who came in when, we found this out. This wonderful Gary is celebrating, hear this, 50 years of being ordained. I think, yeah. I'm not there, and I'm not sure I'll ever be there, but I just think that's wonderful, and this is just kind of part of the celebration. So he gets to do what he does anyway, and so this is just an opportunity. So again, we'll be with him during the message, and you all will be blessed. Let's hear the word. Okay.
Today's scripture reading is from John 1, verse 1 through 5, verse 14, and John 11, verse 25 and 40. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. Jesus said to her, Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? This is the Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
There at the entry of the tomb of Lazarus stood Jesus, who spoke the words of resurrection. Lazarus, come forth! And he did. It was the greatest miracle of Jesus' ministry. Yet it was a moment that was seemingly lost in the swift and overwhelming events that followed right after this one. There came Palm Sunday, the arrest, the trial, the crucifixion, the resurrection of Jesus. But for these few moments, I want to kind of back our truck up and examine once more closely this raising of Lazarus. It's a signal moment that occurred in 30 AD in a town that was up at the top of the hill, 2 miles from downtown Jerusalem. The day that Lazarus died, his sisters Mary and Martha were beside themselves and immediately dispatched a frantic message to Jesus, who was over a little town just beyond Jericho, which with a good donkey's ride still is only about 4 hours away. In our day, we receive such news by responding with haste. We get in our car, get on a plane, we establish communications among family, but we respond immediately. Do you hear that? Immediately. But in this moment, Mary and Martha send off this message, fully expecting Jesus to respond immediately. And then came day one, and day two, and day three. And on the fourth day, Jesus arrived. 4 days. 4 days means that all the mourners that have been hired to come to that moment of celebration of the life of Lazarus, they'd gone home. All the teachers who were there, they'd gone home. Everyone realized too many days have passed. It's too late. As I told the group this morning, I was born and raised behind a funeral home. And I'll tell you, 4 days, you don't want to be around a body unless it's been embalmed. I learned as a little kid. Well, it's been 4 days. Jesus, in the mind of Mary and Martha, if he had come when they sent the initial message, they knew, because of past history with Jesus, that he could have raised him. He could have helped heal him on the spot, but that didn't occur. So when Jesus comes on that fourth day into Bethany, he's met by Mary and Martha, who are very angry and disappointed that he had come so late, because now, 4 days, it absolutely is too late. Jesus is taken aback by their bitterness, their anger. And so we start on the text here that's going to reveal stuff, I think, that you have not heard. Not that it hasn't been around for a while, but it hasn't been around until around 1935, when scholars began to re-examine this text that you and I learned as kids. What is the shortest verse in the New Testament? Jesus wept. We all have interpreted that to mean across the years, a boo-hoo time. Lazarus is dead. That's not what this means. The word in the text has a definition in the Greek that literally means moved to anger. Think about that. What's that mean? Moved to anger. Deeply moved. Groaned in spirit. It means that somehow, some way, all of this has been reinterpreted through the centuries. But you and I have the advantage since 1935 of such major documents, the most basic documents to the New Testament. Alexandrinus and Sinaiticus. They go back to the second century. They're the best documents we have for biblical interpretation. Up until 1935, we didn't know about these documents. We didn't know about the papyri that were found in the desert sands of Egypt. All of this meant Dead Sea Scrolls. We have the advantage now of knowing what that is. And the first time it ever came out to you and to me was in 1966 when it took the form of Good News Bible. And in that Good News Bible, you had the host of the new scholars who we began to hear their scholarship, because there it was. Always I've heard them describe these people who've been made these comments. They're some scholars say. Well, that doesn't do it for me. I want to know who are the scholars. And what I didn't realize was I ran in to probably every world-renowned New Testament or textual critic of New Testament scholarship that we have in our generation. For the preacher, we had some preachers here the last session. Yeah, they knew what we were talking about. Rudolf Karl Bultmann, German Lutheran, New Testament prophet, University of Marburg, died in 1976. Edgar Goodspeed, American theologian, University of Chicago, Greek and New Testament scholar. The one that I remember coming to our convention and to our seminary, matter of fact, Bruce Metzger, who was a biblical scholar, Bible translator, textual critic from Princeton Theological Seminary. Donald Guthrie, New Testament scholar from the University of London, Erdman's Bible Commentary, which he wrote. And I always have fun in saying to you as Methodists, Wilbert F. Howard. All we do know that the Interpreter's Bible was written by this guy who did the exegesis of our scripture today, John. Abingdon Press, 1952. And on his editorial board was George Buttrick. I mean, these are big names that we know, or I know, coming through the mid-century, last century. Walter Bowie, John Knox, Paul Shearer, William Barclay, Daily Bible Series scholar from Scotland. These all scholars translated Jesus wept as a moment when Jesus had Mary and Martha in front of him, and he asked this question: Martha, do you believe in the resurrection? And she says, yes, Lord, in the end time, which in itself revealed she didn't know at all. And then he says, Martha, I am the resurrection. We can go through that so quick and spin it off. Come back. Listen to those words. Jesus is saying, I am that I am. He's announcing to us God. That's the Old Testament phrase. No, it was so holy a name that you didn't say it, but we knew him from the self-proclaimed statement, I am that I am. Jesus announcing that he is God. I am. And then what does he add to that? The resurrection. I'm standing right before you. And here comes the tears. Now you hear one side of this story, and she's starting to cry. And then some nitwit in the crowd. It's in the text. I say nitwit because he's unidentified, or she, whatever it is. But they may just say, oh, look at Jesus. He's crying. How he loved Lazarus. And I'm saying and prating before your mind's eye that all the scholars in New Testament critique, textual critics, are saying, no, that's not what it means at all. He's not saying, oh, boo-hoo, I'm so sorry about Lazarus and lost my goods. No. What is? They're saying he's angry. What does that mean? He was so frustrated that here was Mary and Martha standing before him. Every time he came to Bethany, they were family to him. They always stayed with him overnight, etc. You know, they didn't understand. They hadn't the foggiest about what resurrection meant. The resurrection, God, the resurrection stood before her and said, do you understand what the resurrection is? No, because he was right there in front of her. Jesus said, to those who believe, behold and see the glory of God. And then he said, Lazarus, come forth. And he did. In 1980, I went with a group of American Baptists from Kansas City, Kansas, to the Holy Land. I had the privilege of going down into this tomb we're talking about, going down the narrow limestone-hewn steps, all 24 of them, going down, coming to a little anteroom, and then I turned and went into a doorway which was about like this, yay tall. So you had to get down and go in. When you were in the tomb, along three walls was a limestone-hewn slab where they placed the bodies. We were told, as half the group, those who were able to take those steep steps and come back up them, we'd like for you to go down into that tomb, and we'd like for you to sit down on one of those benches and don't say a word. Don't talk to one another. We want absolute silence for 10 minutes. So I and others went down into the room, sat down, and you know what we heard? That was a stomach, you know. It was so silent you could hear everything. The silence shouted at you. After 10 minutes, we went back up topside. Those group of folk up on the topside were instructed to say, Lazarus, come forth! Lazarus, come forth! Loud, the whole group, Lazarus, come forth! And when we got up there, we said, we didn't hear you. Were you saying the words? Yes. We were shouting, you didn't hear us? No. Now take it from personal experience that I had. What in the world did Lazarus hear? You see, we thought the yelling loud, Jesus saying, Lazarus, come forth. We thought that was all about so he could wake Lazarus up. But it wasn't that at all. He was after all those Pharisees and Sadducees, all those people, Jewish crowd that came. They didn't come to see Lazarus or see anything going on there. They came to try to find evidence to accuse him and kill him. That's why they were there. So Jesus says, all of you people here, today you will see the glory of God. He got their attention, and they all listened and witnessed as then he said loudly, Lazarus, come forth. And he did. There is in the New Testament a story in Mark 4 of disciples in a boat, and they were in a storm. And the waves and the wind were getting ready to capsize their boat, and they were so fearful because in Jewish mind in that day and age, below those waters was hell, Sheol, place you don't want to go. They were petrified that that boat was going to capsize. And so they said to Jesus, who was asleep, don't you care that we're about ready to die? Help us. Jesus went to the front of that boat and stood and said, wind, be still. Waves, be calm. And it was so. There, that's why we shared the scripture with you today as we did. I wanted you to see the two posts around this story. Because there, John is beginning to explain to us, saying, John 1, in the beginning was the Word. That's why we sang, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet. That's the hub of this message. Thy Word. It's the Word. As Jesus stood there and he turned to the tomb, he wasn't waking up anybody. He was doing the very thing that we find in Genesis 1, where God says, let something happen, and it was so. Let there be wind, let there be waves, let there be water, let there be land. And always the phrase is, and God said, and it was so. Every man and woman on the face of the earth, humanity itself, let there be male and female, and it was so. Let there be fish in the sea, let there be animals, it was so. Why? Because the phrase is always there. God said. God said. So that when you come to John, you find him parroting that back to you, telling you over and over that Jesus was standing before Mary and Martha. He was the Word. All he had to do was speak it. That also gives you a good idea of how Jesus acquiesced and let people who sought to plot against him and kill him, how he just stepped back and let them do it. Because in an instant, Jesus at any moment could have said, burn them to toast. He had the power of the Creator God to not allow them to do that. But he did allow them to do that. The power of the Word. From Genesis, the opening words, to the Lazarus moment, until this very moment in Blue Springs, we are surrounded by a God who speaks to us of resurrection. We have Jim tomorrow who we'll have memorial services for, but I would say to you, Jim is not dead. Body, yes. But remember, go back to Genesis. In the beginning was the Spirit of God hovering over chaos. The Spirit. Can't kill the Spirit. Matter of fact, I'll try it one more time, and I see you're sitting back here now. I kept in that first verse of Genesis 1, it talks about the Spirit of God hovering over this nothingness, chaos. And the Hebrew word for spirit is the Hebrew word ruach. It's kind of like you were spitting at somebody. It has that messy, sloppy, slurpy end to it. Ruach. That's the spirit. But that same spirit is what we are witnessing as Jesus uses these words of resurrection and calls forth Lazarus. I had no idea. I preached last night, but I only had the order of worship. I didn't have a bulletin. So I was shocked when I came in today and discovered that the bulletin has this line drawing on it. Shocked because it's not the total picture. This comes from the Good News Bible. All the picture includes to the right of the rolled stone. To the right of that in the picture is two figures of line drawings of men. It doesn't appear, and I'll just say to you, where in that do you see Lazarus? The line drawing is done by a Swiss graphic artist some 50 years ago by the name of Mademoiselle Annie Volaton. She made line drawings all through. There are almost 500 line drawings in the Good News Bible. But when it came out in 1966, and I graduated in 67, so I was right on the cusp of all the avalanche of, don't you buy a Good News Bible? But who would, they desecrated the scriptures, it's full of cartoons. Yet if you look at this closely, I really like the way they did this print because they didn't print just a little side of the picture that's in the Good News Bible. But that's precisely the point. It wasn't about Lazarus. The text has a caption on it, Raising of Lazarus. This is a story of Jesus. And the line drawing captured it perfectly. It's a story of the glory of God. How do you put that in a drawing? But there it is. I say that to you simply to say, this sermon has all been about the power of God, the glory of God. It really hasn't been about Lazarus. Lazarus will go on and he'll die again. This is about Jesus. 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 And as I looked at that, I thought, you know, there's nobody looking at the hole in the limestone cave. Nobody's talking about Lazarus. Everybody is talking about, what kind of man is this? And now we're dumped back into the boat with the guys who are fearing for their lives. You're dumped back into Jesus, as they said in the boat, what kind of man is this that has the power over wind, has the power over the waves? Well, the power was, he just said it, and it was so. Those who believed on that day saw the resurrection, witnessed the power, and walked away praising the glory of God. While others did not see, many who left went downtown Jerusalem, just downtown walk, and began to plot how to kill him. You go one more chapter and you'll find Caiaphas down in the temple of the Sanhedrin, and they're planning and plotting to kill him. And I was always startled because I wasn't expecting that. Because the text says, and they were plotting to get rid of Lazarus. So I bring you back to that moment and that picture, line drawing as it is. For there at the entry of the tomb of Lazarus stood Jesus, who spoke the words of resurrection, saying, "Lazarus, come forth." And he did.